Amen. Danny, give me some sound, buddy. Amen, amen. Can we turn on the lights, please? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, please. All right, good deal. Let there be light. Woo! There we go. All right. We ready back there? Recording? Okay, good deal. Today I want to talk to you about grace. And I don't know if you know the story of that song. That's a powerful song. And the story of is of a slave trader. The guy who wrote that song used to trade slaves. He would pick them up in Africa, transport them on a ship to the States, and sell them. Many of them would die. They would all suffer. They would be torn away from their families. They would be beaten and mistreated. It was a horrible thing. If you've studied slavery or slave trade in this country, it was a horrible history. And this guy that wrote this song used to be a slave trader. And then he met Christ. He got saved. And he felt so unworthy that God would ever do anything with him after all that he had done. And that's what makes that song powerful. And that's why that song was written centuries ago. And it's still a song that moves a person's heart, because it captures something that I want to talk to you about tonight that's hard to explain. Grace is hard to explain. I mean, the basic concept of grace, yeah, you get what you know, God is good to you. But I think when we really understand grace, it's like a hammer that hits you really hard in the chest and breaks away a lot of things that are there when you don't understand what grace is. And I'll tell you, the Lord gave me this idea to speak about this last Sunday. Last Sunday, I came up to preach. I was sitting right there. I was getting ready to come up to preach to the church on Sunday. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, I'm so unworthy that God would use me. Because we all are unworthy. We all have done things we regret. We all have done things that just we feel bad about. We all have messed up, every one of us. As a matter of fact, we mess up daily. We have thoughts every day that are not good thoughts. Sometimes we express ourselves in ways that are not nice. Sometimes we do things that are not good. I mean, am I alone, or have you ever done anything you regret? I mean, this is life. This is reality. And then you sit there and you think, you know, I'm going to get here and stand up in front of these people, and I'm going to talk to them about God, and I'm going to talk to them about his word, and I'm going to talk to them about all those amazing things that God does, and yet look at me. And that's when it hits you. It hits you really hard. It breaks you down. That God would use you, that God would use me in spite of a list that's this long. When you get that, when you really understand that, when it hits you and you fully grasp how unworthy we are, that God would do anything for us, that changes the way you think. And the way you live and the way you do things. It totally changes you. There's a few words here that are theological words, and they appear in the Bible back and forth. And we're going to use some of them tonight. And I want to make sure we're all clear on the vocabulary of it. But what's hardest to communicate is for us to understand what that impact of grace is in our lives. What it really means that God would use us even though we have done this or that or the other, even though we continuously fail him, even though we continuously prove to be unfaithful and unworthy of God. And the first word that comes up a lot, especially in the Old Testament, is the word mercy. Mercy, 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 the mercy of God, the mercy of God. There's so many psalms that talk about God's mercy. What is God's mercy? Well, to understand mercy, you need to understand justice. Those two words go hand in hand. And they're both very related to grace. So those are the three words that we need to understand. Here's my best way of explaining what they are. Justice is when you get what you deserve. That's justice. That's justice. When somebody does something bad and they get caught and they get punished, there's this feeling that, you know, justice has been done. There's no justice in somebody getting away with it. When somebody gets away with it, we feel bad. We feel like, wow, like, where's the justice? How come this person did this and got away with it? You know, there's no justice. We fight for justice. We have this concept of justice. And justice, we're really clear on justice. We want justice. We want everybody to have to pay for what they've done. We want everybody to get what is right, what is due them. That's justice. And then mercy is the other side of that coin. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. When you don't get what you deserve. You did something horrible, and you come to your parents, and you're freaking out because they just found out what you did. And I remember as a kid, there were things I did that, man, when I realized that I would have to talk to my dad was going to talk to me about it, forget it. That was bad. Because what did I expect? Justice. I expected that I was going to get what I deserved for that. I'll never forget one time, my mom, as a kid, I had a bad temper. That was a bad thing. Thank God that through the Holy Spirit, God has controlled me a lot in that area. But my mom was in the car with my mom, and my mom was being annoying. And she's driving, and I'm sitting there, and I'm this teenager, and she's just being annoying. Like, I know your moms are never annoying. It's just mine. And so she was there, and she was getting on my case, and I said, "Stop it!" Bang, and I punched her dashboard, and I broke it in her car. And this was a car that my dad had gotten her. It wasn't a brand new car, but it was like almost brand new that my dad had bought for her. And my mom loved her car. And it was a Plymouth Volare. I mean, that was way back, okay? And so I punched that and I cracked her dashboard. And then I immediately regretted it. Immediately. For obvious reasons. She was really upset at me. But my dad, what was going to happen when he found out? I was going to get justice. I was going to get what I deserved. And my dad was really strict. And so I remember pleading with my mom for mercy. Don't tell my dad. Don't tell dad. And she would look at me and she was crying. She was hurt that I had done that. But more than that, she was hurt at my anger. And that was a teaching moment. And she pulled me aside. She pulled over the car. And she used that teaching moment. She said to me, "That anger that you just manifest will ruin your life." She said to me, "It'll make you unhappy. It'll be anybody, make anybody you marry unhappy. It'll make your children unhappy. It will destroy your life." Because my father was a very angry man too. Just look at your father. Look at how much he's hurt us. Look at all these things. And it was like a moment where she said, "I'm not going to tell him you did that. But you need to control your anger. And you need to pray that God would take that anger away from you. Because that's not going to help you." But that's when you plead for mercy and you get it. And it's like, wow, I'm not going to have to deal with dad. So we're good. That's mercy. But you know what happened? What was interesting? Every time I would sit down in the car and see that, it would hurt me. Every time I would sit in the car and see that dashboard, it was a reminder of how messed up. And how we do things that are just, we're bad. All of us are. I don't care, I mean, how holy you think you are. We're all messed up. And then that is a reminder. So that's justice and mercy compared. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Mercy is when you go up to the judge and the judge says, "You have done this and this and this and this. And according to the law, I can send you to jail for the next 25 years. But because this is your first offense, I'm going to give you a chance." That's mercy. I deserve this, but I didn't get it. But what's grace? Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. See, we've gone the full circle. Justice is when you get what you deserve. Mercy is when you're spared from getting what you deserve. And grace is when God gives you something that you don't deserve. It's different. It's different. It's in that analogy, in that story, it's justice would have been my getting punished by my dad severely for having done that. Mercy was what I got from my mom. I'm not going to tell your dad, but what you did was wrong. You need to work on this. And it was mercy. I didn't get what I deserved. And then grace is my getting a blessing from my mom or dad. Grace is my getting a blessing from my mom or dad. Like, why would you be nice to me now after I did that to you? That's grace. Why aren't you mad at me? Why aren't you treating me bad? Look what I did to your car. And you still love me, and you're still nice to me, and you're still pampering me, and you're still dealing. That's grace. And so in that interrelationship, wherever you have mercy, you have grace. Wherever you have mercy, you have grace. Wherever you have mercy, you have grace. Because the fact that you didn't get what you deserve, that's an act of grace. And so every Bible person, this is where I want to go with it tonight. Every person in the Bible, every great man or woman of God understood grace. And a lot of them wrote about it. But some of them didn't write about it, but it doesn't matter. You know what the greatest evidence is that they understood it? Their lives. How they lived their lives. Because grace is like a hammer. That's why I'm calling this message the hammer of grace. When you understand this grace, it breaks, it hammers you. And it breaks down everything in you that doesn't please God. Because you get it, because you understand it. Let me help you understand that. Let's break that down a little bit. You know, David said in Psalm 86 something really powerful. We're not going to spend time on that psalm, but David said, "You, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness." What a powerful verse. Like, God, you're a God of grace. Did David understand grace? Think about David's life. David understood grace, man, because David messed up bad. And yet God didn't abandon him. God did not forsake him. God did not throw him away. God continued to love on David. And so he understood God's grace. The main idea I want you to take with you today is that when you understand God's grace, it changes you. You cannot understand God's grace and not experience that hammer breaking you down. You cannot experience and understand God's grace and not experience that hammer just hitting you hard and breaking you down. Here's where I do want us to spend some time. Open your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 2. Because David wasn't the only one that got it. Paul got it too. Paul understood. Think about Paul's life, another messed up guy who did horrible things. And yet, God was graceful with him. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Sam, could you get two English Bibles back there for your cousin and your sister? So they could read it too. Ephesians chapter 2. If anybody was unworthy of being used by God, man, Paul was one of those guys. After all that you've done. Ephesians chapter 2. Here's what it says, starting in verse 1. "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else." That first paragraph, those first three verses, that describes people who deserve God's justice. People who will get God as a judge. And a God who will judge them, and they will get what they deserve. And we were all in that group of people at one time when we did not know the Lord. Verse 4, "But God, But God, what an amazing expression. But God, I was so messed up, but God. I had done so many things, but God. I am so unworthy, but God. But God, you see, it wasn't, we didn't initiate anything. He was the one that initiated it. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 7. So God can point us to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 8. God saved you and me by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That's a powerful passage. That's Paul talking about grace. And I want to point out four things about grace. When we understand grace, it provokes in us humility. Think about that for a minute. When you understand grace, when you get it, it makes you humble. It makes us humble. When you see somebody that is arrogant and prideful and they are full of themselves, they don't understand grace. They haven't understood it. They haven't gotten it. They still think they're worthy. They still think that they're all this. They still think that God owes them something. It's only when you understand grace that arrogance just crumbles. It's like a hammer. It hits the arrogance, and there's no room for arrogance, only for humility. Every time I stand up here to speak, every time, the feeling in my heart is, God, glorify yourself in spite of me. I don't deserve to be up here. I don't deserve for you to use me. And that's not something I'm just saying. That's something that is deeply in my heart. There's no arrogance. There's no pride because, hey, who can be prideful in front of God? Who can boast that they do everything right in front of God? Who's perfect? Who's never done anything wrong? Who's never had a bad thought? No, don't even go ever. Who hasn't had a bad thought today? Who didn't have a bad thought yesterday? See, we're all in this. Humility is a sign that we understand God's grace. And you know why, as a result of this, you can understand why there are so many Bible verses. I can give you more than 50 Bible verses that tell you that God hates arrogance and pride. And God punishes the arrogant and the pride and the prideful. And God does not stand people that are arrogant and prideful. Why? Because when somebody is arrogant and prideful, they have not understood that they are sinful in God's eyes, that they need God's grace. And so that's a defiance against God. It's a direct defiance against God. You cannot understand grace and not be a humble person. If you understand grace, humility comes with it. That's why when somebody gives their life to Christ, a lot of things change in their life. And this is one of the things that change that people notice. People say, wow, you're so different. You used to be like this and that and the other thing, and now I can't put my finger on it, but there's something different about you. Well, one of the things that's different is called humility. When you really understand that you don't deserve anything. I love those pictures on Facebook. I don't know if you guys have seen them, in Instagram, of the dogs that have done something bad, and then they put a little sign on the dog. Like, there's one with a Yoda doll that's all torn up, and it says, killed Yoda, I did. And then he's got this poor little face, like, forgive me. And Yoda's in like 100 pieces. It's like, when we get it, when we understand that what we need to plead with God is, Don't do justice. Please have mercy. I messed up again. God, please have mercy. I've messed up again. God, please have mercy. And his fountain of mercy is continuous. And it provokes in us humility. The second thing that happens when we understand grace is that it provokes gratitude. Grace provokes humility, and grace provokes gratitude. Aren't you thankful when somebody gives you mercy and grace? When you don't get punished for what you did, aren't you grateful for that? Doesn't that provoke in you like a thank you? Like, wow, thanks. I really appreciate it. I didn't mean to do that. Please don't. Okay. I'm gonna give you a chance. Thank you. Thank you. That gratefulness comes from understanding grace. You're so thankful to God. It's like, God, how can I ever repay you for what you've done for me? How can I repay you for not just zapping me? Because that's what I deserve. And yet, you're being kind to me. And you're loving me. And you're providing for me. And you're protecting me. And my family. And you're showering your grace upon me. And I don't deserve it. That provokes gratitude. I'm so grateful to God. And that's why God despises people that are ungrateful. Go to the Bible. Everything you find in the Bible that God does not support or tolerate, a lot of it has to do because people don't understand grace. It has to do with not applying grace to your life, not seeking God's grace. If you are not grateful to God, then you don't understand grace. You don't understand what he's done for you. There's so many anecdotes and so many stories and so many things that I could tell you that kind of highlight the sacrifice that God did for us. But if you get it, it provokes in you a tremendous amount of gratitude. A tremendous amount of gratitude. It's like God gave his only son to forgive us, to save us on a cross. And we've heard that so many times, we become desensitized. It doesn't mean anything to us. But when you get it, when you see a movie like The Passion, and you get it, it provokes gratitude. Not only does it provoke humility and gratitude, but when we understand grace, it provokes holiness. When you understand grace, you don't want to do anything that displeases God. Because God forgives you, and God is so nice to you that you don't want to offend him anymore. How could I do this to you after you've loved me so much? Please don't let me do it again, please. And then when the time comes and the temptation comes, more often than not, you'll be able to resist it and not do it because you don't want to hurt God. Because you don't want to hurt somebody who's loved you so much. You don't want to hurt somebody who's done so much for you already. You don't want to hurt somebody who goes out of their way to do everything they can to make life good for you. You don't want to hurt somebody like that. Somebody who's given you their own life. You don't want to hurt somebody like that. It provokes holiness. And that's why when somebody's worldly, when there's a Christian who's living in the world, where there's a Christian who's doing things that don't please God and doesn't care, when there's a Christian that's living in sin, there's a problem here. God despises that. Why does God despise that? Why does God not bless that? Because here is somebody who's taken advantage of God. So I forgive you, so I'm nice to you, and you're going to go do it again? And you're not going to be repentant, and you're not going to be sorry you did it? And you're going to keep doing it? Really? Okay, let me show you a little bit of my wrath. See, God doesn't deal well with that. Imagine if you did something horrible. Let's say you got home today. Let's think about when you were kids. Say you got home today. And Amina, you grab this permanent marker, and you start writing all over the walls in your house. Like you sign your name, and you write Bible verses, and they can't get mad at you because you're writing Bible verses, right? And then Dad comes around and goes, "Wah!" And you go, "No, Dad, please have mercy. Don't do anything. I won't do it again, please." And so your dad says, "This is the last time. Don't ever do this again." And he paints the wall and everything good. What do you think happens if the next day he comes and you've did it again? Is there going to be more mercy? Probably not. And we've all been there. We've all been there. That's how God is with us. So God doesn't stand it when we are out there doing things that we're not supposed to be doing after he's already forgiven you for it. Now his grace is enough. He's slow to anger, we read David say, and he's great in love and mercy and faithfulness, but they don't push it. When you understand grace, you don't want to push it because you don't want to go back to God and say, you know that thing you've already forgiven me for like 11 times? I did it again. You don't want to do that. So grace, understanding grace, leads us to more holiness in our lives, to living a life that is more pleasing to God. And finally, when we understand grace, it provokes worship in us. It provokes worship in us. It makes you want to sing to God. It makes you want to pray to Him. It makes you want to, you know what, you're so into God. You so love God because He's been so nice to you. It's like when your parent, that day that my mom said that she wasn't going to tell my dad, I kissed her like 100 times. I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom. That's what we do to God when we understand grace. I love you, God. I love you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's that worship that comes out of our heart because we understand that God is so kind to us when we don't deserve it. Do we really understand grace? See, it's a hard concept to explain. It's hard for us. It's not something you can be taught. You have to experience that sensation of not being worthy and yet being blessed by God. That's when it's like, wow, what just hit me? What just hit me? When you understand God's grace, it changes us. You cannot understand God's grace and not experience that hammer. Just breaking away at the arrogance, breaking away at the sinfulness, breaking away at all the things that don't please God, and provoking in you humility, and provoking in you gratitude, and provoking in you holiness, and provoking in you worship. All of that just comes forth when you understand grace. Jeremiah understood it, the prophet. And he says in the book of Lamentations, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, he says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Like every day, God has a fresh dose of mercy for us, and boy, do we need it every day. The author of Hebrews understood it. We'll finish with this passage. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. It says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours, he understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Think about that. That's the call of God tonight to us. We need to seek God's grace and throne. We need to go to before him. There was an article I read a couple of days ago by John Piper that talked about, you know, when you indulge in sin, after you have indulged in sin, he's a pastor of many years, he says that that's when the enemy does his greatest harm. It's not when you sinned, it's after you have sinned. What you do with that, that's when the enemy does the worst harm to us, because he gets in your head. And he wants to separate you and isolate you from God. You see? Forget it. There's no more grace for you. No more love for you. This time you really ruined it. This time you messed up. You may as well just go to the world. You may as well just forget about church. You may as well just forget about God. Because look how bad you messed up. And that's the enemy's voice, because he wants to destroy us. But what did we just read? We have a high priest who understands us because he lived in this world. And he experienced the same temptations we do. And he went through what we went through. He didn't sin, but he understands. And when you go through him, what are you going to find? Grace, mercy, forgiveness. Do you think Jesus would tell his disciples that you have to forgive your brother 70 times 7, but then he's not going to forgive us 70 times 7? And you know that he wasn't saying 490 times and you keep a record of it. 491, you're done. That's not it. It's You forgive your brother every time he sins against you. Why? Because God forgives you every time you sin against him, every day when you sin against him. His forgiveness is there for us. Now you got to seek his forgiveness. You got to go before the throne. You have to confess your sin before God. You have to, but trust me, when you understand grace and you sin, it hurts. You don't want to do that. It bothers you. Your conscience is affecting you, and you get right with God. So tonight, just to sum it up, when you understand grace, it provokes humility in us. It provokes gratitude in us. It provokes in us worship. It provokes in us holiness. When you understand grace, you cannot get away with not having your life changed, impacted. Let's stand up tonight. Those of us that can. Let's stand up tonight. This is a message that I've struggled with all week to try to figure, to try to come up with some analogy that would just make it all click. Some way of explaining it. It's the hardest thing I've ever tried to explain. Because you're trying to explain something that is an experience. It's not something you write down on a paper. It's something you experience. But my desire is that all of us would experience that grace. That moment of saying, you know what? Wow. Because when we do that, you know what? We stop pointing fingers at other people. We stop pointing finger at other people because who am I to point a finger at anybody? Are you kidding me? You know how I mess up? You know how you mess up? You know how we all mess up? So who are we to judge other people and point a finger at them and, oh, yo, yeah. Come on, that's not how God deals with us. Grace, 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 we need to understand that and the impact that it has on our lives. And if there's any of those signs in your life that you don't understand grace, then pray that God would make it abundantly clear to you. The next time you mess up, sit there and say, okay, what should I get? What I deserve? Or should I get God's grace and mercy? Which one do I want? And then thank God for not getting his wrath, but rather getting his mercy. Let's pray tonight. Father God, I